Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Vanishing Choir, which is the second and final part of this two-part series, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 8, One by One. The sunlight streaming through the stained glass windows was deceptive. Despite the warmth of the colors, the church felt colder than ever. Detective Lenny Clark stood near the altar, staring at the journal in his hands. The scrawled, frantic words of Pastor Reynolds' final entry haunted him. The harmony is complete. What did it mean? And why was he left alive when the choir had vanished? He tucked the journal into his coat pocket and exited the church, squinting against the sudden brightness of the day. Sheriff Greaves was waiting by his squad car, his expression a mix of concern and frustration. "I was just about to send someone in after you," Greaves said. "What the hell happened in there?" Lenny shook his head, his voice gravely. "Something bigger than both of us. Reynolds showed up. He's involved, but not in the way I thought. He's afraid of whatever this is." Greaves raised an eyebrow. "Afraid? Of what?" Lenny's jaw tightened. "A presence, a force, call it the shadow, the phantom, whatever you want, but it's real, and Reynolds is either its pawn or its prisoner." Greaves stared at him, his skepticism evident. "You realize how crazy that sounds, right?" "I do," Lenny admitted. "But after last night, I don't care how it sounds. There's something unnatural at work here, and it's not going to stop unless we figure it out." That evening, Lenny returned to his motel room to sort through the evidence. He spread the photographs, notes, and journal entries across the bed, his eyes scanning for connections. Patterns began to emerge. The recurring mentions of harmony, the shadow, and the word cleansing. A knock at the door interrupted his thoughts. He opened it to find Lily standing there, clutching a small bag. Her eyes were wide with fear. "I can't stay at home anymore," she said, her voice trembling. "I feel like someone's watching me." Lenny nodded and stepped aside, letting her in. "You're safe here," he said. "But I need you to tell me everything you know, even the things you're afraid to say." Lily hesitated, then sat on the edge of the bed. "It's the choir," she said finally. "We all knew something was wrong. Reynolds, he changed a few months ago. He started talking about purity and cleansing during rehearsals. At first, we thought it was just another one of his sermons, but then..." Her voice faltered. "Then what?" Lenny pressed gently. "People started disappearing," Lily whispered. "First, it was Brian Tate, then Claire Mitchell. Reynolds said they'd found their true calling, but I didn't believe him. They were just gone. No goodbyes, no explanations. And the choir? It wasn't the same without them." Lenny sat down across from her. "What about the night of the rehearsal? Why did you skip it?" Lily's hands trembled as she clutched the bag on her lap. "Samantha warned me. She said something bad was going to happen. I didn't understand, but I stayed home. I should have done more. I should have..." Her voice broke into a sob. Lenny placed a reassuring hand on her shoulder. "You did what you could, and now you're helping by talking to me," Lily nodded, wiping her tears. "There's something else. The night before the rehearsal, I saw Reynolds in the parking lot. He wasn't alone. There was a man with him, someone I'd never seen before. They were arguing, but I couldn't hear what they were saying."
"Can you describe him?" Lenny asked.
"Tall, dark coat and a scar on his cheek," Lily said. "He looked angry, like he was threatening Reynolds." Lenny jotted down the description. "That's helpful. Thank you, Lily." The next day, Lenny and Greaves tracked down Claire Mitchell. She'd moved to a neighboring town and was reluctant to talk, but the mention of Reynolds and the choir softened her resolve. "Reynolds is a manipulator," Claire said, her voice bitter. "He hides behind his sermons and his charm, but he's dangerous. When I was in the choir, he made us feel like we were part of something special, something holy. But it was all about control."
"What made you leave?" Lenny asked.
"I couldn't take it anymore,"
Claire said. The way he looked at us, the way he spoke, it was like we were his property. And then there was Brian. He confronted Reynolds about the missing money, and 2 days later, he was gone. Reynolds said he'd left to spread the word in another town, but I didn't believe him. Did you ever see Reynolds with anyone unusual? Lenny asked. Claire nodded slowly. There was a man. He showed up a few times after rehearsals. They'd talk in his office, and Reynolds would look shaken afterward. I never caught his name, but he had a scar on his cheek. Lenny and Greaves exchanged a glance. The same man Lily had described. Thank you, Claire. Lenny said. You've been a big help. That night, Lenny sat in his car outside the church, the journal open on the passenger seat. The entries about the shadow and the cleansing played over and over in his mind. He glanced at the photographs again, focusing on the shadowy figure in the background. The pieces were coming together, but the picture they formed was dark and unsettling. Someone was pulling the strings, and Reynolds was just one part of a larger conspiracy. The choir hadn't simply vanished. They'd been taken, one by one, until nothing remained but fear and silence. Lenny's phone buzzed, jolting him from his thoughts. It was a text from an unknown number. Stop digging. You don't know what you're dealing with. His grip tightened on the phone as he stared out at the darkened church. Whoever was behind this wasn't done. And neither was he. Chapter 9, The Final Warning. The text lingered on Detective Lenny Clark's phone screen like a ghostly warning. Stop digging. You don't know what you're dealing with. Lenny's thumb hovered over the call button, but he stopped himself. Whoever had sent the message wasn't likely to pick up. Instead, he saved the number and forwarded the text to the station's tech team for tracing. If this was another move by Reynolds or his mysterious associate, Lenny wasn't going to let it scare him off. He sat in his car, the journal open on the passenger seat. Each frantic line penned by Pastor Reynolds painted a picture of a man unraveling, consumed by fear and paranoia. Lenny flipped back to the passage that chilled him the most. The shadow demands harmony. Disharmony must be cleansed. Lenny muttered under his breath. What the hell does that mean? A knock on the passenger window startled him. Sheriff Greaves' face appeared, lit by the glow of a street lamp. Lenny unlocked the door, and Greaves slid into the seat. You look like you've seen a ghost, Greaves said, glancing at the journal. What's in there? Lenny handed it to him. Read for yourself. Reynolds was terrified, but it's not just fear of being caught. It's like he believed he was dealing with something bigger. Greaves flipped through the pages, his brow furrowing. This guy was unhinged. You really think there's more to this than a pastor losing his grip? I do, Lenny said firmly. We've got Reynolds meeting with a stranger, the guy with the scar. We've got the choir members disappearing one by one, and now someone's trying to warn me off. This isn't random. It's deliberate. Greaves sighed, rubbing the back of his neck. So what's the play? Lenny tapped the journal. We need to find Reynolds. He knows more than he's saying, and I'm willing to bet his friend with the scar does too. The next morning, Lenny and Greaves returned to the church, armed with a warrant to search Reynolds' office. The air was crisp, the early sunlight casting long shadows across the nave as they entered. The silence felt heavier than usual, as if the building itself was holding its breath. Reynolds' office was small and cluttered, its walls lined with shelves overflowing with books and folders. A large wooden desk dominated the room, its surface covered in papers. Lenny's eyes scanned the titles of the books, theological texts, sermons, and a few obscure tomes that looked far older than the rest. Search everything, Lenny instructed. He's hiding something. They worked methodically, sifting through drawers and files. Greaves opened a locked drawer with a crowbar, revealing a small metal box. Inside were envelopes filled with cash, a ledger, and a series of photographs. Lenny picked up the ledger, flipping through its pages. This is the missing money, he said. Reynolds was keeping track of every penny. Greaves examined the photos, his face darkening. These are the choir members, he said, spreading the pictures across the desk. Reynolds, he's got notes on the back of each one. Lenny grabbed one, turning it over. The note read, David, disharmony, watch closely. Another photo bore the note, Beth, loyalty wavering. He was profiling them, Lenny said, his voice tight, judging them, but for what? Before Greaves could respond, Lenny's phone buzzed. He pulled it from his pocket and read the message, Last warning, walk away. His jaw tightened. They're watching us. Greaves glanced around the office. You think Reynolds is behind this? No, Lenny said, shaking his head. Reynolds is scared. Whoever's sending these texts is calling the shots. As they left the church, Lenny's phone rang. It was the tech team. We traced the number, the tech said. It's a burner phone, but we picked up a signal near an abandoned farmhouse about 10 miles outside of town. Send me the coordinates, Lenny said. He ended the call and turned to Greaves. We've got a lead. The drive to the farmhouse was tense, the road winding through dense woods that seemed to close in around them. When they arrived, the building was barely visible through the overgrowth, its windows shattered and its roof sagging. They approached cautiously, weapons drawn. The front door creaked open under Lenny's hand, revealing a dark, musty interior. The air smelled of decay and mildew. Stay sharp, Lenny said, his voice low. They moved through the house room by room, finding little more than broken furniture and scattered debris. But in the basement, they found something that made Lenny's blood run cold. A makeshift altar stood against the far wall, its surface covered in candles and symbols scrawled in a dark, dried substance. A photograph of the choir lay at the center, a red X drawn over each face except one. Samantha Lowe. She's next, Greaves said grimly. Lenny's hands clenched into fists. Not if we stop them first. As they turned to leave, a voice echoed from the shadows. You should have listened to the warnings. The figure with the scar stepped into the light, a cold smile on his face. But now it's too late. Chapter 10. Into the Shadows. Detective Lenny Clark's pulse quickened as the man with the scar stepped fully into the light of the farmhouse basement. The cold smile on his face sent a shiver down Lenny's spine. Sheriff Greaves, standing at Lenny's side, tightened his grip on his weapon. You're not going anywhere, Lenny said, his voice steady but laced with tension. Hands where I can see them. The man raised his hands, mockingly slow, his smile never faltering. So predictable, he said, his voice smooth and dripping with condescension. You think you've pieced it all together, don't you? You're going to help us fill in the blanks, Lenny replied. Starting with the choir, where are they? The man chuckled, his scar pulling at his cheek. You think this is about them? The choir was only the beginning. They sang for him, but harmony demands sacrifice. Greaves' jaw clenched. Enough of the cryptic crap. Start talking, or I swear. Or what? The man interrupted, his eyes gleaming with amusement. You'll shoot me? Go ahead, it won't stop what's coming. Lenny took a step forward, his weapon unwavering. Last chance. Who are you working for? The man's smile faded, his expression darkening. I don't work for him, he said, his voice low and cold. I serve him, and soon, so will you. Before Lenny could react, the man dropped his hands and lunged toward the table at the center of the room. Lenny fired, I hope the shot echoing in the confined space. But the man was quick. He grabbed a jar from the table and hurled it to the ground. The jar shattered, releasing a dark, viscous liquid that spread rapidly across the floor. The room filled with a noxious smell as the liquid began to bubble and hiss. Shadows seemed to rise from the substance, coalescing into shapes that writhed and twisted. Lenny felt an unnatural chill seep into his bones, and the dim light of the basement flickered, as if the darkness was consuming it. We need to move, Greaves shouted, pulling Lenny back toward the stairs. The man with the scar stood amidst the chaos, his arms outstretched. You can't stop it, he said, his voice echoing unnaturally. It's already begun. Lenny and Greaves bolted up the stairs, the sound of the man's laughter following them. They burst out of the farmhouse into the crisp night air, both of them gasping for breath. Behind them, the basement glowed faintly with an eerie, pulsating light. What the hell was that? Greaves demanded, his voice shaking. Lenny's mind raced as he tried to process what he'd just seen. I don't know, he admitted, but it's not over. Back at the station, Lenny spread the evidence across the conference table. The journal, the photos, the ledgers, and now the fresh memory of the farmhouse. Sheriff Greaves paced the room, his agitation growing by the second. This isn't a case anymore, Greaves said. This is a nightmare. Nightmares have roots, Lenny said, his voice calm but firm. And roots can be dug up. The man with the scar mentioned harmony and sacrifice. That's the key. Whatever this shadow is, it's tied to the choir. They were part of some kind of ritual, and Reynolds was involved. Greaves stopped pacing and looked at Lenny. What about Samantha? Her photo was marked. She's still alive. Do you think she's next? Lenny nodded. We need to find her before they do. Lenny and Greaves arrived at Samantha Lowe's house just before dawn. The place was eerily quiet, the curtains drawn tightly shut. Lenny knocked on the door, his senses on high alert. When there was no answer, he motioned for Greaves to follow him around the side of the house. The back door was ajar, swinging slightly in the breeze. Lenny drew his weapon and stepped inside, his eyes scanning the dim interior. The house was in disarray, furniture overturned and paper scattered across the floor. A sense of urgency gripped him as he moved from room to room. In the living room, they found a chilling sight. A circle had been drawn on the floor in what appeared to be ash, its edges lined with symbols similar to those in the farmhouse basement. At the center of the circle lay a piece of sheet music, its notes scrawled in blood-red ink. They took her, Lenny said, his voice tight with anger. Greaves pointed to the wall where a message had been written in the same red ink, "The final harmony approaches." Lenny's phone buzzed in his pocket. He pulled it out and saw a new text from the same unknown number. "You're too late." He gritted his teeth, his resolve hardening. "We're not too late. Not yet." The farmhouse loomed in the distance as Lenny and Greaves sped back toward it, the rising sun casting an orange glow over the horizon. They didn't know what they would find, but Lenny knew one thing for certain. Whatever was happening, it would end there. As they approached the property, the air grew heavy, charged with an unnatural energy. The faint hum of voices reached their ears, growing louder as they neared the building. It was the choir, their harmonies beautiful and haunting, carrying an undercurrent of despair. "Do you hear that?" Greaves asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Lenny nodded, his grip tightening on his weapon. "Stay close, we go in together." They entered the farmhouse, the voices guiding them to the basement. The makeshift altar had transformed. The symbols on the walls pulsed with an eerie light, and the dark liquid from before now flowed in unnatural patterns across the floor. At the center of it all stood Samantha, her eyes wide with terror as the man with the scar held her in place. "Welcome back, detective," the man said, his voice reverberating. "You're just in time to witness the final act." Lenny raised his weapon, his voice steady despite the chaos around him. "Let her go." The man laughed, a chilling sound that seemed to echo in the very walls. "You still don't understand, do you? This isn't about her. It's about balance, harmony, and now it's complete." The room began to shake, the light intensifying as the choir's voices reached a fever pitch. Lenny's mind raced, searching for a way to stop whatever was happening. "Not on my watch," he growled, stepping into the circle. The shadows surged toward him, and everything went black. Chapter 11, The Reckoning. The darkness was oppressive, wrapping itself around Detective Lenny Clark like a living thing. He struggled to keep his footing as the basement shook violently, the dissonant harmony of the choir filling his ears. Shadows swirled in the air, their shapes shifting and writhing as if alive. The only source of light came from the altar, its symbols glowing with an otherworldly energy. Lenny's hand tightened around his weapon as he moved towards Samantha Lowe, who stood frozen in the center of the circle. Her eyes darted toward him, wide with terror, but she couldn't speak. The man with the scar loomed behind her, his face illuminated by the flickering light of the altar. His smile was triumphant, as if he had already won. "You're wasting your time, detective," the man said, his voice resonating unnaturally. "It's already done. The harmony is complete." "Let her go," Lenny demanded, his voice cutting through the chaos. He aimed his gun at the man, his finger hovering over the trigger. The man chuckled darkly. "You still think this is about her? She's just a vessel, a part of something far greater than you can comprehend." Before Lenny could respond, the symbols on the altar flared brighter, casting the room in an intense red glow. The choir's voices rose to a deafening crescendo, their harmony twisting into something inhuman. Lenny's vision blurred, his mind struggling to process the unnatural sounds. "Lenny!" Sheriff Greaves' voice broke through the noise. He stood at the edge of the circle, his weapon drawn and his expression grim. "What the hell is this?" "We're stopping it," Lenny said through gritted teeth. "Whatever it takes." The man with the scar raised his hands, and the shadows in the room surged toward Lenny and Greaves. They moved like a living tide, cold and suffocating, forcing the two men to retreat. Lenny fired his weapon, the muzzle flash illuminating the room in brief bursts, but the bullet seemed to dissolve into the darkness. "You can't fight it," the man taunted. "This is beyond you." "Then why are you so afraid?" Lenny shot back, his eyes locking onto the man's for a split second. He could see it now. Beneath the bravado, there was fear. Whatever the man served, it was as much a threat to him as it was to everyone else. Lenny turned his focus to the altar. The symbols etched into its surface pulsed like a heartbeat, the epicenter of the chaos around them. He holstered his gun and reached for the journal tucked into his coat. The pages fluttered as he flipped through them, his mind racing to recall the passages that had struck him most. "The shadow demands harmony. Disharmony must be cleansed." He looked up at the choir, their faces blank and their voices mechanical. They weren't singing, they were being used, their humanity stripped away to fuel whatever ritual was taking place. "Samantha," Lenny called out, his voice cutting through the din. "You're stronger than this. Fight it." Her eyes flickered with recognition, but she remained rooted in place. The man with the scar stepped closer to her, his hand hovering above her shoulder. "She can't hear you," he said. "She belongs to the shadow now." "Like hell she does," Greaves growled. He raised his gun and fired, the bullet grazing the man's arm. The scarred man hissed in pain, clutching his wound as the shadows around him faltered for a moment. Lenny seized the opportunity. He lunged toward the altar, the journal clutched in one hand. The closer he got, the more intense the pressure around him became, as if the air itself was resisting him. He slammed the journal onto the altar, its pages open to the final entry. "He is here." The symbols flared violently, their light shifting from red to a blinding white. The choir's voices faltered, their harmony breaking into fragmented notes. The shadows shrieked, their shapes unraveling as the light consumed them. "No," the man with the scar roared, his voice filled with desperation. He tried to reach the altar, but Greaves tackled him to the ground, pinning him in place. Samantha stumbled forward, her body trembling as the light surrounded her. Lenny reached out and caught her before she fell, his grip steady despite the chaos around them. "It's over," he said, his voice firm but gentle. "You're safe now." The scarred man let out one final scream as the shadows collapsed into nothingness, leaving the room in silence. The glow from the altar faded, and the choir members slumped to the ground, unconscious but alive. Greaves hauled the scarred man to his feet, his grip like iron. "You're going to answer for all of this," he growled. The man's smile returned, weak but defiant. "You stop this, but it's not over. The shadow always finds a way." Lenny locked eyes with him. "Not if I have anything to say about it." Hours later, the farmhouse was cordoned off, the site swarming with law enforcement and forensic teams. The choir members were taken to the hospital, and Samantha sat wrapped in a blanket in the back of an ambulance. She looked up as Lenny approached, her eyes filled with gratitude. "Thank you," she said softly. Lenny nodded. "This isn't your fault. What happened here, it's on them." She hesitated. "Do you think it's really over?" Lenny glanced back at the farmhouse, its dark silhouette looming against the horizon. "For now," he said, "but if it isn't, we'll be ready." Chapter 12, A New Dawn. The first rays of sunlight broke over Pine Hollow, painting the town in shades of gold and crimson. The nightmare of the last few days clung to Detective Lenny Clark like a weight he couldn't shake. As he stood outside the farmhouse, watching the forensic team pack up the last of the evidence, he couldn't help but feel a strange sense of unease. The man with the scar was in custody, the choir members were safe, and the ritual had been stopped. But something lingered, a shadow of uncertainty that refused to be ignored. Sheriff Greaves approached, his expression a mix of exhaustion and relief. "That's the last of it," he said, nodding toward the convoy of vehicles pulling away. "The scarred guy isn't saying much, but we've got him locked up tight." Lenny nodded, his eyes fixed on the farmhouse. "What about the choir?" "Doctors say they'll recover," Greaves replied. "Physically, at least. Mentally, that's a whole other story. Whatever happened to them down there, it's gonna take time to unravel." Lenny's jaw tightened. "It's more than just time. This thing, it's not gone. The man with the scar said the shadow always finds a way." Greaves sighed heavily, running a hand through his graying hair. You really think it's not over? No, Lenny said, turning to face him. But we've bought ourselves time, enough to figure out what this thing is and how to stop it for good. Later that morning, Lenny visited Samantha Lowe at the hospital. She was sitting by the window in her room, a blanket draped over her shoulders as she stared out at the parking lot below. She turned when he knocked lightly on the door, her lips curving into a faint smile. Detective Clark, she said softly. Come in. Lenny stepped inside, pulling a chair up beside her bed. How are you holding up? Better than I thought I'd be, she admitted. But I still see their faces, the choir, I mean. It's like they were trapped in their own bodies, singing but not really there. I can't stop thinking about it. You were brave, Samantha, Lenny said. You fought against whatever was controlling you. That's not easy. She shook her head, her eyes welling with tears. It doesn't feel brave. It feels empty, like I'll never be free of it. Lenny reached into his coat pocket and pulled out Pastor Reynolds' journal. He placed it on the bedside table. This is what we found in the farmhouse. It's filled with his thoughts, his fears about the shadow. I think reading it might help you understand what you were up against. Samantha eyed the journal warily. I don't know if I want to understand. What if it just makes things worse? Sometimes knowing the enemy is the only way to beat it, Lenny said. But it's your choice. If you ever want to talk, I'm here. As the days stretched on, Lenny returned to the station, where Greaves was reviewing reports on the scarred man. The suspect had given no name and remained silent during questioning, his expression blank and detached. The only words he'd spoken since his arrest were the same chilling phrase, "The shadow always finds a way." This guy's not going to crack, Greaves said, tossing the file onto the desk. He's either delusional or he really believes what he's saying. Maybe both, Lenny said. He flipped open the file, scanning the contents. What about his prints? Any ID? Greaves shook his head. Nothing. It's like he doesn't exist. Lenny's eyes narrowed. Everyone exists somewhere. Keep digging. If we can find out who he is, we might find out what we're dealing with. That night, Lenny drove to the outskirts of town, where the Pine Hollow Church loomed against the darkened sky. He parked his car and sat for a moment, staring at the steeple silhouetted by the moonlight. Something about the place still felt wrong, as if the shadow's presence lingered just beneath the surface. He stepped out of the car and entered the church, his footsteps echoing in the empty nave. The air was heavy, carrying the faint scent of candle wax and damp wood. Lenny walked to the altar, where the symbols from the ritual had once glowed with a sinister light. Now, they were faint scorch marks, their power seemingly extinguished. But as he stood there, a faint whisper reached his ears. It was so soft he almost thought he'd imagined it. Lenny turned, his hand instinctively moving to his weapon. The church was empty, but the whisper came again, a faint, melodic hum that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. His heart pounded as he scanned the shadows. The whisper grew louder, resolving into a single, haunting phrase. The harmony is never broken. Lenny's blood ran cold. He stood frozen for a moment before forcing himself to move, retreating from the church and stepping into the cool night air. The whisper faded as soon as he crossed the threshold, leaving him alone in the quiet. He climbed into his car, gripping the steering wheel tightly. The shadow wasn't gone, it was waiting, watching and perhaps planning its next move. As he drove back to town, the words lingered in his mind, a chilling reminder that the battle was far from over. The harmony is never broken.